Evidently.
Okay, guys, we're recording. Don't say any bad words in church.
Yeah.
All right. So, today we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. I'm Mark. Those of you guys who have heard me talk before, I'm kind of a busy talker, so I'm going to walk around a lot. It really makes people uncomfortable, but it also makes them pay attention. So we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 5. In fact, let's get to that, and then I want somebody to read it loud and clear and nice and slow. There are.
Right there behind
me. There. Oh, right here. No?
Here.
Oh. Right there.
All right. Thank you.
What was the dinging?
What's that?
It was this, and I don't know how to shut it.
Oh.
I don't know how to turn the thing off because I just got it. So I'm trying to figure it out. So it doesn't bother you if somebody texts you.
No,
no
handouts today. Okay.
All right. Who's got 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20?
Second.
2 Corinthians. Did I say first?
Yeah.
My mistake.
Just say Alzheimer's.
Yes, yeah, it's Alzheimer's. 2 Corinthians. 5 verses 18 through 20.
Got him? Yep.
You going to read it, Rich?
Yeah.
Nice and loud and slow, okay?
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Jesus, or in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
Okay. So I was, or I am, the second child of six. Right? So I'm the second oldest. I've got an older brother, three younger sisters, and a younger brother. When I was early in my life, I was raised Catholic. Right, so we were actively involved in the Catholic Church. By Catholic Church standards, I was a pretty good guy. Our family was pretty good family, right? We went to Mass all the time. We went to confession. We did all the stuff, right? So that was kind of my religious background. Here's the reality. I didn't know Jesus from the man on the moon. But I was a very religious kid, very religious kid. I was also a kid that was out living up my life when I was a young man, and I'm talking about in my early teens. I did things that were horrible. I mean horrible. I was that guy, right? And what happened to me was I was kind of on the outs. I was kind of relegated to the out, right? And why wouldn't I be? Doing the things that I did, saying the things that I did, I was that guy. And that was kind of the role, kind of the position in life that I had until I got to high school. And when I got to high school, my junior year, there was a guy who was real popular. Big football player, loved Jesus, great student, everything that I wasn't, right? His name was Tom Henderson. And Tom started kind of hanging out with me. And you know what? Tom was very genuine, and he was very sincere. He didn't act like he had an agenda. He acted like he wanted to be my friend, right? That in itself was pretty weird, if he'd want to do that. And anyway, so Tom and I were talking. We began to develop a relationship, and he gave me a Bible, right? And he was very smart and very strategic about it. He put my name on that Bible, so I couldn't give it back to him. So Tom and my grandmother, those two people, were to me the ministers of reconciliation in my life, right? Everybody in this room has a minister of reconciliation, right? Some of you, it is a person, like it was with me. Some of you guys, it was a Tom Henderson, right? Some of you, it was a church experience where you went into church and you heard a pastor preach, you were convicted, and you came to Jesus that way, right? But it doesn't change. There was still somebody in there who was, for you, your minister of reconciliation, okay? So when you look at these verses, you've got there are three things about it. There is a minister of reconciliation, and what would that be? When you think about the minister, who would that be? Who is the minister of reconciliation?
God.
Who?
God.
No. But thanks for playing, Rosie.
I'm going to my room now.
No.
In your lives?
In all of our lives.
Jesus who? Christ.
Yeah. Okay. Well, kind of. That's part of it. More practically. Feet on the street. Who is it?
A saved man.
There you go. Yeah. We are. Who in here loves Jesus? Let me see your hands. Okay? All of us. So that makes every one of us a minister of reconciliation. Every one of us. Right? It's not, and it's a funny thing. It's not like this verse says, if you feel like you're bold, or if you feel like that makes you comfortable, or any of that stuff. It doesn't say that.
So I have a question.
Ooh. That's my wife. This could go really bad. This could. Oh man, this is going to be bad. Pray for me, please.
So what do you mean, or what does it mean, minister of reconciliation?
Baby, it's like she's setting me up. She's teeing it up for me. So I want to read for you guys. Where's my? Oh, here, Rosie, I need that right there. Is that me, Dingin, or is that you?
It's not me this time. I figured out how to turn it off, so it's not me.
It was you. Okay, well.
I had to get all that, but I got it.
All right.
I think.
Yeah. So let me give you guys a definition of reconciliation, right? Is that what you're looking for, baby?
Yes.
Okay. It is the restoration of friendly relations, okay? His reconciliation with your uncle. Right? Some other words that would mean the same thing would be reuniting or reunion, right? Mm-hmm. Bringing back together again. What does that tell you about us, people? If we are given the ministry of reconciliation, what does that mean the rest of the world needs? They need to be reconciled. Why do they need to be reconciled?
Because they are lost.
They were born separated from God.
Yeah, absolutely. All of us were born separated from God, right? So when you think about reconciliation and what our role is, it's not one of those things that we get to choose to be participants, to be players. Here's the good news. When you think about reconciliation from this verse, it has a component of it is our duty, it is our responsibility, our obligation, right? And it is. But you know what else it has? It's the opportunity, it's the privilege of being ministers of reconciliation. You know why that is? You know how many of us in this room Jesus needs to get his word out there to the world?
None.
Huh?
None.
None of us. He doesn't need any of us. He is God.
Yeah.
God is God, and God will do, and God will accomplish what he's going to accomplish, regardless of us, and regardless of our willingness to participate. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
If he doesn't use me, that's
true. So that's right. So if he doesn't need us to get this done, mm-hmm. and in fact we are called to be part of it, what does that tell you?
He loves us.
Yeah, you know what? In getting to do this, it is a privilege. It's because he loves you. It's because he wants you to understand the blessing of being part of that process. How many people in here have led somebody to the Lord? Let me see your hands. Two. Me. Four. Not many of us, right? Why do you suppose that is?
Some of us are planters, some of us are waterers, and some of us are harvesters.
Fear.
Let's clarify the question. How many of us have tried to lead someone to the Lord
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. How many people have made the effort of being ministers of reconciliation? Okay, that broadens the scope. Good, good.
Good question.
That is a good question. That is a good question, right? Because it is not our job to save them. It is our job to be the ministers of reconciliation, right?
And really, everybody by just their lifestyle and conversation has probably done that, hopefully, even if they didn't try.
Right, right.
He's got a question.
My husband said, I think so all reconciliation with God.
Everybody, uh-huh. One time, everybody reconciliation with God. Porque because we've always seen.
Estamos separados.
We separated with the sin, you know, with
por
the
los pecados.
Okay.
They accept themselves with reconciliation. What
mm-hmm.
I mean?
I think for the la definición de reconciliación en español es cuando confesamos los pecados.
Oh. The definition in Spanish, the reconciliation is that when they told the sin.
Cuando aceptamos aceptamos
que somos pecadores. Accept the sinner, reconciliation with God. Because leave, separate the sin, but stay with God.
Oh, yeah. I'm tracking with you now. So it is the sin that separates us from God, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be reconciled to, mm-hmm. or why we need to be reconciled, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so... if we are given the ministry of reconciliation, that's the first part. We've been given the word of reconciliation, that's the second part. And third is we are the ambassadors. Those are the three components to these scripture verses that we read. Right? All right, so if we can agree that we are all not only given the responsibility to be ministers of reconciliation, right? We're given the privilege to do that, to be that. Right? Who is it that we go out there and be the ministers of reconciliation to?
Everyone.
Okay.
Anyone who's not a Christian. But I say everyone because I don't know who exactly is a Christian or not, because a lot of people say they're Christians and they're not really. So it's kind of confusing, so I just hit them all up.
Okay. Just let them all have it. Okay.
Sometimes it's reconciling back to.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
So people who were lost, so they are Christians but not in fellowship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want somebody to get 2 Peter 3:9 for me.
Oh.
And then Kevin,
yeah.
Because I know you had a really good discipler, I want you to tell me what John 3:16 said.
She didn't wonder who that was.
she wants to answer that.
Okay, go girl.
Say it again.
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
That a girl? That a girl?
One I know.
Nice. Okay, so with that verse in mind, who is it that we go out and are ministers of reconciliation to?
Whosoever.
Who is whosoever?
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right? How about the Muslims?
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
The Muslims?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
The Hindus?
Yes.
Well. Yes.
You guys are getting my point here.
Yeah.
You know what? We have a tendency to sit there and go and say, these people are worthy, these people are not. I will confess to you guys that in the last 4 or 5 years, God has absolutely changed my heart toward Muslim people. I mean, absolutely changed my heart, right? Where I have the same compassion for them that I have had for everybody else. That was a work of God in my life because I had real contempt, especially after all the stuff that had happened to us.
Yeah.
Right?
God said, don't judge people, right?
Hmm?
He says, don't judge people, right?
Well,
anyway.
Right. Yeah, kind of in a sense, yeah.
The way God thinks is lofty.
The way God thinks is lofty. It's way above us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, whenever you think about who it is, the whosoever it is, that is everybody, regardless of how we might feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, who have the 2 Peter verse?
The 3 what?
What was it, 3:9? Is that what I said?
Yeah, got it.
Okay.
All right. 2 Peter 3:9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Okay.
Wow.
Who does that include?
Not me.
All right. You guys are getting my point.
Hey, I got one right.
We as ministers of reconciliation, the who in our lives is everybody.
Yeah.
It is everybody we come in contact with, right? So let me ask you guys this. Do you think that there is a reason that we are living in Harrisonville, Missouri, or someplace around here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
This is our
Israel.
This is where God wanted us at.
Why?
Because that we can make our, you know, we fit in. We make friends. We make family. This is where he wants us to reach out from.
Okay. But why? But why Harrisonville?
We have a sphere of influence. Each one of us has a sphere of influence that we can talk to different people. Rosie has people in her life that I would never speak to because I don't know them and never met them, and vice versa.
Hey, bite me. I'm sorry.
But you know what? That is true. That is true. You know what? God has put us here.
Yeah.
And you know what is really odd, but is what is crazy to me, that God put me in Adrian, Missouri. Right?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know me, that would be something that is crazy. I would be crazy out of place in Adrian, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm a white collar guy from Johnson County.
Oh, that's it.
No, I mean that is true.
Yeah.
That is true for me, no. Right? Yet God, in his sovereignty and his wisdom, said to me, this is where I want you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Hey, I gave him a little.
So you know what happened? So you know what happened with that? With that, I had an opportunity to be actively involved in Adrian First Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Right? My wife and I had a chance to lead Sunday school classes. Mm-hmm. We had a chance to work with the youth. Right? We had a chance to work with the older people there. And they understood. They began to recognize that this guy that was the outsider, that it frankly is an outsider to them, was part of their community, right? So God gave us an opportunity to make a difference in that church and in that community. But then he did something different. He said to me and my wife, and mostly that sounded like my wife going, I don't want to go to this old church, I want to go to a new one.
Hey.
The Bethel?
Getting more hidden.
That is the way the Lord spoke to me, right?
About Bethel Primitive Baptist Church?
No. No, I'm not talking about that one. My wife said, I want to go to a different church, so we got here. But you know what the really good news is about getting here?
You love it?
I do love this church, right?
You love it.
You know, it's a funny thing, because there are things that this church doesn't give me that church did.
Yeah.
But there are things that I can do in this church that I never could have done there, mm-hmm. because we're bigger. Right, we have more resources or more influence or more reach.
Yeah.
Right? So now I get to go on Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons, my wife and I get to go in and preach to guys in jail. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We get to be ministers of reconciliation to a bunch of guys that are the least of us, least among us. And I love that. That is a wonderful ministry for us. Right?
Mark, what you're saying is, all the churches that I've ever been to, I've never known any churches, if you would have brought that idea up, they'd have looked at you like you were nuts.
The idea of what?
Yeah,
doing a church? Doing a ministry?
Going into jail.
A jail ministry?
Because then they feel like then they're just... But that is one of the things I love about this. You guys don't look down upon anybody.
Absolutely not.
You know, and you guys actually do just the opposite. Try to help them, and I think I can speak for some of the guys and people that are in the jails and the Lily House and all.
Joshua House.
People get thrown, and that's how come they fall through the cracks.
Yep.
Because they don't feel like anybody gives a care. And unfortunately, there are a few churches that just kind of, you may need to go somewhere else. You're not quite what we're looking to have be in our group.
Right.
So
right.
They just lose faith. They just kind of...
That's right. So that's what we will tell these guys and these girls when we're in there. We will tell them that we have resources and opportunities to help them when they get out. And by the way, Rich, did I ever talk to you when you were in jail?
Mm-hmm.
We will always, always tell these guys, you are welcome with us.
Yeah.
And they are welcome with us.
Yes.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We love the fact that these guys are willing to come out and invest their lives, or at least be vulnerable enough to be part of our community.
Mm-hmm.
That is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Right? So we got here, and we were given opportunities to be involved in ministry, different than we could have been in Adrian, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God has used that to bring us here. You know what? I love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I am very much a one-trick pony, right? I'm a give-it-to-you, belt-high, across-the-plate kind of guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear the same thing over and over from me, right? I'm not clever and creative and all that, but I love Jesus, right? And I'll give it to you, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you get from me. So we've got the privilege and the duty. The who is everybody, whosoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that God's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is a hard one. So how do we do it? How are we effective ministers of reconciliation? Because that's,
we live it.
This is hard.
We
say it.
We live it.
We live it. What does that mean? What does that look like?
We look different than the rest of the world.
Okay.
And it's...
Jesus in your heart. Right.
It's something that people want a piece of.
Yeah. I mean, that is exactly right. We've got to be... There's got to be something fundamentally different about us, mm-hmm, to be compelling to them. Right?
Yeah.
Well, then, too, we reach out to people.
We do.
We know that, you know, God loves us, and we love them, and they're not... You know, that we can, that there is hope for them.
Yeah.
And just keep, you know, letting them know that, you know, if you get with God and, you know, you surrender your life and all, that everything will go up. Maybe not always the way you want it to.
Right.
And just because you have like a boo-boo and it fall a bit, don't mean give up. You just got to keep trying. Because I know in my life that's the way it was. Because
mm-hmm.
It'd been really easy for you guys to all just said, she's in a motel, you know, let's just, you know,
right,
she's gotten in trouble with the law. We don't need her around.
Right.
But you guys did reach out. And
yep.
I love you all for it.
Yep. So we've got to live our lives where it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Constantly.
That different look has to be not just here at church.
No.
Because you know what that is? Easy.
Mm-hmm. Let's put on a show.
Right? We that's easy for us to live like that. You know what it's got to look, how it's got to look different? To your wife or to your husband, right? My life doesn't look that way to my wife sometimes, I guarantee you. But I want it to, right? But I want it to. So our lives have to look different. I mean, always. You know what you're doing at home? You're practicing how to do it when you're out in the world. Right? That's what you're doing. If you can do it with the people that you genuinely love, mm-hmm, won't that make it easier for you to do it for the people that are not so easy to love?
Yeah.
Right? And when you think about it, who in the world are the ones that are easy to love?
Everybody.
No.
Well, your spouse, your children.
No, the easy ones to love. Who is that?
Anybody we don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, say it again.
People that you like.
The people that you like.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the people that it's easy to love.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that it's easy to be ministers of reconciliation to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what?
I think that for all the people, it's indispensable reconciliation with God. Embajadores, somos nosotros. Nosotros aquí de la iglesia. Somos embajadores de reconciliación.
We are reconciliation with God.
Para atraer a otros.
For coming more people.
Para reconciliar con Dios.
Yes, we are supposed to bring that message of reconciliation with God to all these people.
Yeah.
Right? The ones that it's easy for us to do that with are the people we like.
Mm-hmm.
The people that you're comfortable with. The people that speak Spanish would be easier for you than... with me, right? The people that look like you, those are the guys that are going to be easier. You're going to like them more. You're going to gravitate toward them more, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about this? The people that live like you do.
Yep. Yeah.
Those are the easy guys.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the reality of it. Most of us No, all of us. Our lives don't look like most of the world. Right? So that creates a problem. That creates a challenge. If it's not easy for us to love, or easy for us to like, or be gravitate toward, then what do we have to do? What do we have to do inwardly to be willing to go out there and do that outwardly?
Try harder.
Well, no.
See,
I wish I had a candy bar, Rosie, because you're really participating well. And I know this is kind of an obscure question. You got one. Give it to Rosie. She's really playing well today.
I'm going to my closet.
So when you think about all the people that we're gonna come across, that we're gonna have to be ministers of reconciliation to, they're gonna be people that we don't have anything in common with, right? And because of that, we don't have a real strong affiliation or affection for, right? So there's something that we've got to do internally to get us to go beyond that, and it is humility, right? What were you going to say?
Well, I was wrong.
No.
His ears popped up and he said, "Really wrong."
We have to have a good testimony to have enough respect from that person that they'll listen to us. So mm-hmm. Humility would be a good...
Mm-hmm. That's fundamental. That's foundational to a good testimony, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about humility in the context of going out there dealing with people, mm-hmm. right, you need to be willing to say, your way is every bit as good as my way, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What you think is every bit as important as what I think. Mm-hmm. Your opinion matters just as much as mine does. Right? Mm-hmm. You got to be willing to go out there and make yourself vulnerable to these people. It's got to be genuine. Right? If it's not genuine, what happens?
Falls apart. It falls apart.
It does.
Hey, I don't want money.
You know what? If I go into jail and these guys don't, because I'll tell them right up front, guys, you know what I could be doing today? Watching football.
Yeah.
Right? Sitting around on my porch with my dog smoking a cigar.
The dog.
Right?
Cigar.
You know what I could be doing today? Anything I wanted to. And you know what? You know why I'm in here? Because I love those guys. Because I want to see them come to Jesus. Right? And I'll tell them that week after week after week. And at some point, they're going to believe it. But the point is, that is why my wife and I go in there. Because we love these guys. My wife is a big advocate of feeding hungry people. Right? So she does a backpack program for the hungry kids in Adrian, right? She worked at the Butler Food Pantry. God has given her a heart to want to give, right? She does that because she loves them, right? She loves them because she had the humility to understand that there's no difference. We are all the same. Mm-hmm. We are all the same. And that is, we're bad jacked up. Mm-hmm. We're broken, and we're lost, mm-hmm. and we're heartbroken. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. And we all have one very, very fundamental need, and that is Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's no other need in the world that we have that something else can't satisfy. We have one need. It's Jesus. So if we're not humble, if there's not humility in our lives, where we can get to the place where we can have compassion and empathy and genuine affection for these people, we won't be effective. We won't be. Right? What did we say earlier? Is ministry of reconciliation an option or a requirement?
Requirement.
It's a requirement. Right? Guys, listen, if you walk, don't walk away with anything else, walk away with this. It's not an option. That is the ministry that we've been called to reconcile people to Jesus. Right? What I have learned over the years is I am most effective in being that minister when I'm doing it in the context of relationships. Right? So we will go out and we'll spend time with people and get to know people. Having never uttered Jesus once. But we'll do that, right? We'll invite people into our homes. We'll sit down. I think this is a great thing. It's for us to sit down and eat a meal. I think eating a meal together is crazy intimate, because that gives you an opportunity to talk, right? To share ideas, to share thoughts. I think eating together is a great way to do it. Great way to cultivate and develop relationships, right? But in order for us to be effective with being that minister, we've got to have the relationships. And you know what, guys? That is hard work. That is hard work. Because remember, we're not out there being ministers of reconciliation just to the people we like. We're doing it for other knuckleheads out there that we're not crazy about, but who have just as much value as we do in the eyes of Jesus. Right? So, if we're going to be effective, we're going to have relationships with people that we don't necessarily have a lot in common with. Right? And I'm not saying people you dislike. A great example would be Kevin and I. So Kevin and we spent 2 years together going through discipleship. When I first met Kevin, he and I had just dang near nothing in common. Right? Over the course of that 2 years, he is like a little brother to me. I love that guy. We spent time together. We ate meals together. We talked. He's been to my home. We cultivated a relationship, right? Kevin was already saved, but the process was the same, right? We invested our lives in each other, right? And then we could be ministers of grace or mercy or love to each other. But the process is the same if it's minister of reconciliation. My point is this: we've got to go out there and we've got to make relationships. That's going to be the most effective way for us to go out there and have an impact in people's lives, right? And I think the most important thing is this. We've got to be humble. We've got to have relationships. But you know what, guys? We've got to do it out of a heart filled with love. Mm-hmm. For Jesus first. Mm-hmm. Right? The reason I do what I do is because I love Jesus first. And you know why I love Jesus first? Because He first loved me.
Mm-hmm. He's the foundation.
Right? Somebody get John 13:35.
It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, for ye have love one to another."
Okay. So what does that verse tell you about us?
We're known by our fruit.
Okay. How are people going to know us?
Because we're set apart.
There we go, right there. By our love for one another. Right?
Yeah.
We should look different to the world. People should look at our lives and go, dang, don't know what it is, but that guy is different. Right? And part of that is going to be based on how we act and respond to each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that we don't do well as a church. And I don't mean specifically our church. I'm talking about the church universal. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't love each other well. When I moved down to Adrian, Missouri, I met a man who was pretty young in his faith. He was a truck driver, not a very interesting man, not a very compelling man, not a man that I would have any interest in being friends with. And one day, when I was talking to him, I found out that this guy loved Jesus. And when I found that out, guys, it changed everything for me about the way I felt about him. He went from that guy to becoming my little brother. Right? That's the difference. The way we feel about each other, we'll let the rest of the world know that we are different. Because that's not common. It's not common to feel about that way about a wide diversity of people, gathering of people. And especially when you think about the church universal. I mean, everybody, all the church, not denominations, not specific church buildings. I'm talking about all of us who love Jesus. We are the church, right? So for us to be effective ministers, we've got to love each other well, right? And that's not hard to do. I mean, that's not easy to do. That's a hard thing. but we got to do it, right? All right, so then the final question is, if we're going to be that minister, right, who we're going to be it to and how we're going to do it, the next question would be, so where is that field? Where is that opportunity?
Everywhere.
Well, read, Rosie, read John 4:35. Do you have a Bible?
I did. I ran out the
here.
House.
Here.
I'm done.
Gotcha. Right here. I got you right here. And actually, just read the underlined part.
Okay.
Samaria and uttermost. Rosie's going to write it.
Lift your eyes and look at the... I'm sorry, I'm half blind.
It is tiny. It is tiny.
Lift up your eyes and look onto the field.
13:35.
For they are.
No, I'm sorry. 4:35.
Right already to the harvest. Just the finger was over.
There we go.
All right. So what does it say?
Lift
up your eyes. Look around, guys. The fields are white with harvest.
Yep.
You know where the opportunity is?
Everywhere.
All the time.
Everywhere.
Hey, read a rule.
I want to stick.
Then the uttermost. That's right. What though is we are an agricultural community. What is unique about a harvest?
When you pull this, you know,
What happens if you don't harvest in a timely fashion?
It dies. The ground.
What else happens?
New life.
It rots.
Yeah, it goes to waste.
Right? It goes away. It's lost.
And then there's new life.
It's seasonal.
Right? So when you talk about the fields are ripe for harvest, that doesn't mean it's an unlimited time.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's there, boys and girls. Time to get after it now.
Yeah.
Right? Not later. Yeah. Not when it's convenient. Now is the time.
You know, that's a great sense of urgency. We have friends that are farmers. When it is time to harvest, it works.
It is go time.
They are out in the fields running machines with lights and you don't even see them until it's done. That's a great analogy.
Yep. So when you think about our opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation and who, where, and when, now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what I guess my point is, don't delay, don't wait, and say, you know what, there'll be a more convenient time.
Well, you never know when their last day is going to be.
That's right. You never know when your last day is going to be.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Right? That gate swings both ways. And you know what every single one of us should want to do? We should all want to go to heaven with much fruit and fruit that remains.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That should be what motivates all of us. That we hear first, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and go there with fruit. Go there with crowns. Go there with something we can give Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now's the time.
That makes me think of Roger. Oh, right? Roger, Christina, he's like, man, when I want to give...
Oh, yeah, he is greedy.
This,
that's right.
Right? I want to have so much fruit.
And that's right. And that's how I feel about it. I want lots of fruit. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians what?
5:19. Yeah. Okay, so we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the what?
Word
of reconciliation.
What's the next thing?
So what is the word of reconciliation? It is the Bible. But how about specifically?
That Christ came and died for sinners.
And what is that? What's that called?
The gospel.
The gospel. That is the word of reconciliation. Now, I want you guys to tell me, because it surprises me, how unclear the gospel is to all of us, or to many of us, that we couldn't sit down there and say, these are the steps or the points of the gospel that are necessary to bring somebody to salvation. It's surprising to me. So let's do that. What's the first thing?
The verse of 1 Corinthians 15 lays it out pretty good.
Okay, let's read that.
1 Corinthians 15:1.
15 what?
15 what?
15 starts in verse 3.
Okay.
Paul actually gives us the gospel in like two verses.
It says, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures."
In verse 1, he says, "I declare unto you the gospel," and then he gives it to us in verse
3. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he died for our sins. What is the implication there?
That he forgave us all of our sins.
That we need to die for.
That we need to die for, right? The implication is there that we are sinners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? That there's something about our lives and our hearts that is jacked up and separated us from God. Right?
So, you know what the sin thing...
excuse me.
So Mark and I have a chance to talk to people that are millionaires. We have chances to talk to people that are in jail. And they are no different in thinking... that sometimes that they're more good than they are bad. So it's always, for me, I think it's such an important part of the initial conversation to really have to, what is sin, right? Because somebody who lives in Johnson County might think that, you know, sinners are people that do drugs and are in jail, right? They don't understand that pride and gossip and all those things separate us from God. So I think that basic conversation of when we rebel against him, and when we want to decide what is right for our lives rather than let God, that very basic conversation puts everybody on the same ground. Sometimes
well, we
even more so when you have money.
Yeah.
Because they know that they want to do what they want to do.
Right.
When they want to do it. That's the basic sin is rebellion against God and what he wants for our lives. And so I tend to try to start my gospel conversation like that rather than assuming that people know they're sinners, even when they're in jail.
Well, sometimes right. You know, that Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort, I forget what that's called, but
oh, yeah.
You know, they talk
right.
About, they start off the conversation of,
where are you going to go?
Have yeah. You ever lied?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
People are like,
that's
some
exactly
people say
point.
No.
Well, they're lying right then.
You know, right, exactly. So they just kind of go through those simple things that
happen.
Do you guys remember when I did Life Issues a few weeks ago?
Yep.
And I said something about what is the condition of the human heart. You guys remember what that was?
Yeah.
You guys remember?
Yeah.
Wicked above all
things. So the heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah.
And desperately wicked, who can know it?
Yeah.
Mm. Right? So whose heart is that?
Mine.
Mine. Yep. It is mine. It is my wife's. It is yours. It's all of us. Right? So the point is, whenever you're out there talking about the gospel with people, you need to make them understand that their hearts are jacked up too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That we are all broken.
I think we compare ourselves with others and think, well, I never killed anybody.
That's right.
Absolutely. You know,
I absolutely do.
Those big things,
yep.
And like you said, you know, about...
Yep. And what does that do? It creates a standard set by, what, our righteousness? Rather than the righteousness and the holiness of God? That's why, you know what, my wife has a wonderful heart. And I know it, because she's my wife. And in God's eyes, compared to God's heart, she is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
I am appalled.
Mark, I'm taking out some life insurance.
Right? No, no. That is the comparison between God and my wife.
I know.
Right? To me, she is way up here.
That's why our thinking is...
Yes, we're jacked up. We're just broken,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All righteousness is a filthy rag.
There you go, Isaiah. Yep, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Rich?
It's like me, when I talk to people that really know my past or my background, I tell them that I'm an alcoholic and drug addict so they can... I think it presents who I am and where I've been.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, I mean, before I even tell them that, they're already trying to judge or think of what kind of person I am. Well, I think it's better just to come out and say that. It makes me feel more comfortable, and then they know how to present themselves towards me
right.
With that, you know, when I tell them that.
Yep.
So.
One of the things that I like to ask people, I'd be like, do you believe that you're going to heaven? And they say, yeah. And I say, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me, they're like, because I did this and this and this. I said, well, if you're wrong, would you want to know?
Right.
You know, and then they would usually say,
it's like
say,
that
yeah.
Scale with, you know, as long as you do more good things than
yeah.
Bad things, you're
yeah.
It's always because I did this, this,
yeah.
And this.
Yeah.
it's not because God's grace is sufficient. Never.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So when you think about the gospel, so you've got, first of all, you've got to establish the fact that they are sinners. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a surprise. It's oddly enough, it is a surprise
it
to some.
A surprise to
right?
Yeah.
But you need to establish that. Then the gospel of Jesus, the reason, because you did sin, you needed a Savior. So Jesus died on the cross. Mm-hmm. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again, right? Mm-hmm. And if you trust in him, you'll have eternal life, mm-hmm. right? This is where I think it breaks down. When we say trust in him, we don't state clearly enough what that means. And what that means is this, that Jesus Christ is King, Lord, and God of your life, right? He's not your cosmic buddy. He's not a guy that you can relegate to Sunday mornings, give him half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour of good quality time, and he's good to go, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is God. Jesus created the world. He created everything, right? He expects, in order for you to have that relationship with Jesus, you've got to make him king. Right? You've got to make him the Lord of your life. He's got to be in control of all. You've got to surrender everything. Mm-hmm. And until you do that, you don't have that relationship. Because he's not Lord. He's your cosmic buddy. Right? So I think you guys need to understand that when we are making that when we are being the word of reconciliation, don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
Give it to him belt high across the plate. Say, guess what, boys and girls? You got to make him king. You got to step down off the throne of your own heart. It's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And it is. Mm-hmm. Right? But let me tell you this. I've done this for 45 years, and I've never one day regretted it. Mm-hmm. I love Jesus. I do. You'll never regret it. Make him king. Make him Lord. Right? I wonder if we're going to make it. I almost never do. All right.
What time are you supposed to be done by?
What time? 10:15?
10, you know, whatever.
10:15.
We okay?
You're fine. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
10:15
is about.
All right.
Yeah.
Go to verse 20. Second Corinthians 5, verse 20.
Second Corinthians 5:20.
There you go, that's it. Couldn't think of the name, but.
2 Corinthians 5:20. So it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. In other words, we are ambassadors to the point that what we are saying is on God's behalf. Right? Mm-hmm. That our words are the very words of God. Right? We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Okay. So let me give you the definition for ambassador. Stand by. All right, so ambassador. It's an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. That's the first part. Okay? The second part is a person who acts as a representative or promoter of a specified activity. Okay? Of the two, I think we are probably a combination of both. Right?
Yeah.
But we are certainly people who are called to promote a certain idea. So let me ask you this. How can you promote a certain idea which is based on what?
The Word of God.
What was it?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Right? If you don't know it.
Yeah.
Right? How can you be ambassadors if you don't know what you're ambassing?
Is that a word?
It's not a word. It is not a word, no.
It makes sense, though.
So what it that first part of it, it says where you are an accredited diplomat. You know what accredited means? Qualified.
Qualified.
Right? Somebody get 2 Timothy 2:15. You guys who went through discipleship should all know this verse.
Kevin.
And then also 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God.
Okay, so study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study. Be a workman. Get to know it. right? You can't be an effective ambassador if you don't know what you are being an ambassador for.
That's right.
Okay?
That goes with Romans 1:16.
It does.
Yeah. That should not be ashamed of the...
Oh, 1:16?
Yeah, Romans 1:16. That should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and then something about the Jews.
Kevin, who's your disciple there? Okay, all right. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. What does that say?
It says.
He also should know that one.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
So you know what that scripture right there says, guys? That the Bible is perfect and complete for everything you need. Everything you need to be an ambassador.
Mm-hmm. It says right? Furnished.
Thoroughly furnished, right? So that's the point. Is you know what? If we're going to be ambassadors, we've got to be prepared. We've got to know what it is we're talking about, right? I want to read one last thing to you, and this is something that I want you to think about. You guys know who C.S. Lewis is, right? Some of you guys have heard this. Some of you have not. But we talk about this all the time. So C.S. Lewis was an English author. He was an academic. He was crazy smart. He was crazy opposed to God, not so much actively opposed, just indifferent. He didn't believe, right? And at one point, somebody was the minister of reconciliation in that man's life. It turned him around. And he became one of the greatest Christian authors, certainly in my life, right? In my exposure, right? Because of his minister of reconciliation. And it says this, he says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is as ours as the life of a gnat. In other words, there is no significance to all of those things, all the things that the world has to offer. Right? But it is immortals whom we joke with, who we work with, who we marry, who we snub and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. This does not mean that we are able to be perpetually solemn. We must play. But our merriment must be that of a kind, and is, in fact, the merriest kind, which exists between people who have, from the outset, taken each other seriously. Not flippancy, no superiority, no presumption. The truth of the matter is this. Everybody will live forever somewhere. Right? We have a tendency to think just because we have eternal life that we live forever and everybody else is something else. No. They live forever just like we do. Then the question becomes, where are they going to live? Right? And this says that those people who are the people that we come in contact with, that we work with, that we hang out with, that we marry, right? Those are the people. There's your opportunity to be the ambassador of Christ, right? To have that reconciliation or that ministry of reconciliation. So, look at that. I'm 6 minutes early. You know what, guys? It's a big deal. It's a big deal, and I think too often we don't take it seriously enough. We don't look for the opportunities. You know what? If you open your eyes, they're all over the place. And if you ask, I guarantee you they're all over the place to be that minister. Right? We need to be bold in doing that. We need to love Jesus enough that we're willing to say, I'll be uncomfortable and tell this guy about Jesus. I'll run the risk of being ridiculed and tell him how much Jesus loves him. We've got to be willing to do that, right? Because after all, we've been given the privilege of the ministry of reconciliation. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have chosen us, a jacked up, broken group of people, to share in your ministry of bringing other people to Christ. Father, I pray that we would be bold, that our lives would be scrubbed clean by the Word of God. Lord, that we would love each other in a way that is compelling to the people who are lost, that we would just be different at the very core of who we are, so that when we go out there and have the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, it will be compelling. It'll be true. So, Father, I pray for boldness for all of us, that we'd be faithful kids, willing to do our part in this big story that is your story. Lord, I pray for Steve as he's coming back from Israel. Keep him safe and the whole team. Lord, I pray that it has been a blessing to him, that he has been encouraged, that he has been emboldened, that he can come back and be a blessing to us. And Lord, again, I thank you for all these people. I love these guys. I love this ministry. I just pray your blessing on us. Lord, help us to be bright lights in a dark world. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Where's my stickers? I did get a few right. Stickers.
We get spoiled with the candy bars, don't we?
I know.